Woo, we have an anointing this morning. Last week wasn't so much. I mean, as the devil goes to church sometimes more than some Christians do. Now, yesterday. Last week we was talking about the title was Jesus, Humility, and the Holy Ghost. This is kind of like a continuation, but not. I feel kind of like this morning I got like three messages in one. I got the lion, I got the bear, and we got Goliath too. But anyway, this morning the title is The Spirit and the Word is what we're going to call this. Now, last week I got on a little bit about how that you cannot just take scriptures out of the Bible, your favorite verses or something that you want done or whatever, and get things done with that. And in saying that, sometimes I felt like some people here or maybe listening by way of internet, the devil come in and you got a little confused about all that. So this morning I'm going to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, clear that up. Because how many knows the Bible says that all His promises, they are yes and they are amen in Him. Don't leave out the in Him. That's the key. To us that have been born again, all His promises in Him, they are yes and they are amen. Just like this for an example. Healing, if you've been born again, healing belongs to you. Why? Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law and sin and death and sickness and disease, right? He took upon Himself poverty that we might be made rich, right? So we are redeemed from poverty. Amen? That's a promise to the believer, to the Christian. So the Word of God, where it's just like you can take Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22, it belongs to you, right? Y'all know what that says? His Word is medicine, health, and healing to all my flesh. So you can take that scripture and you can put that in your heart and you can grow that baby and receive your healing. Why? Because it's already been done for every born-again believer. Now, say you want a certain job or you want a certain house. My address is not in here. So what am I going to have to do? Now, the Holy Spirit, we was talking about last week, how He makes alive. He illuminates. The preached Word of God, it brings faith, the Christos, right, when you hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit quickened it to Scotty, the scripture over there in the Old Testament where God was talking to the Jews. He said, hey, I'll give you houses that you didn't build. You'll drink out of wells that you didn't dig. All that quickened that to him. But he did not tell him our address. So therefore, he can only have faith for a house. Not a trailer, not an apartment, not a condo, right? Because it was the Word of the Lord. Now, what do you got to do with that? Now you have to mix the Word that he got with the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean by you cannot just take any scripture out of the Bible and make it do whatever you want it to do. Or you have whatever it is that you choose to have. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that works in line with the will of God. You can't lay hands on anybody and heal them. But how many knows that the Word of the Lord, anybody that He chooses, you can lay hands on Him. Bam! Why? The Holy Spirit is the one that demonstrates the Word. But it's only the Word that He speaks. But now, like I said, to born-again believers, healing belongs to you. It's already been done. You can take that and you can run with it anytime. But even in that, when you take that Word and you believe God, for why? Faith begins where the will of God is known. All through this Bible, especially New Testament, it tells me healing belongs to me, right? But how many knows you still need to take the Word but be looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit? I've told y'all I don't know how many times, but I know we have new people all the time listening by way of internet and all that. I kept having reoccurring UTIs, and I couldn't figure out why, because most all I ever drunk was water. Well, I wasn't thinking that at the time they had me on a medication for a different reason, but back in the olden days, they used this medication as what they call an old-timey water pill. It was a diuretic. And I wasn't thinking about that or anything at the time. And I'm on my way to do a job one morning after I'm standing on the Word of Proverbs chapter 4. Healing belongs to me. His Word's my medicine. I'm taking it. I mean, it ain't do you no good to go to the doctor and not take your medicine that they give you. But how many times do Christians claim their healing, want their healing, and they never take the medicine of the Word? So anyway, I'm on my way to do a job or whatever, and I'm praying because I'm standing on the word. I know it's mine. I should have it. And I say, Lord, is there anything that I should be doing or I need to be doing, you know, that'll help bring about this healing or whatever? And all of a sudden, I don't mean out here. You don't hear him out in here. I heard this, drink an extra bottle of water a day. I thought, extra bottle of water a day? Now here comes your mind reasoning. Don't do it. Because most time what he tells you don't make sense. It makes faith. And faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. I thought, all I drank is water. But I thought, okay, I'll drink an extra. For years, I did not have another one of them. He knows everything about everything at everybody all the time. So it's prideful, actually, for us not to look to him. You know, some people, and I have thought at times, I'm too busy today to pray. I got to get with it. I got to get up early and I got to get with it. Let me tell you something. He can give you a word that just makes everything. I mean, you just bam, 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 bam. How many knows? We always got to be looking to him. Because, see, it's not the word or the spirit. They go together. Gosh, y'all too quiet. The Word always goes with the Spirit. The Spirit always goes with the Word. The Holy Spirit is the one that demonstrates and brings to pass the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, whatever it is that He says, right? Now, let me get my glasses here. So, that's part in line what I meant by what I said. Because how many knows, there's people out there, they spend no time with the Lord. They might go to church, they might read their Bible, but they don't really spend any. How many know you need to spend more than 5 minutes with him? It's kind of like going to church. I'm telling you, church is not what it used to be. We have our time, church. I have 45 minutes for Sunday school. We have a 15-minute break. What do you have? About an hour for you know, the 11 o'clock service or whatever. And it's like, Holy Spirit, do everything you're going to do in our little slot and time frame here. Ooh, y'all too quiet. I mean, we don't dictate him. Oh, but he is so gracious to work with us. Amen? To work with us. So that's what I mean by some of that. Because it's not separate. The Word and the Spirit, they go together at all times. I can't remember just now what church that the Apostle Paul was talking to, but he told him, he said, when I came and preached to you before, he said, I didn't come and speak to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but I came to you, he said, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That is a lot of what is lacking today in the church. A lot of the gifts of the Spirit. We've had people behind the pulpits that have taught these things naturally. They are not natural. They're spiritual. The Word of God, it's eternal. It's spiritual. The Holy Spirit, He is spiritual, right? It's like they'll tell you miracles have passed away. No, miracles never passed away. Well, we don't have none. Well, probably because you don't teach on them. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Whatever that He tells you, there's faith there to do it. But how many knows? Once you got that, you got to act on it, because faith without works is dead. It's just like speaking with other tongues. Excuse me. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. There's people, they know that is so. They know it's true. They know it's right. But yet at the same time, they won't do it. Why? Because mom and them don't do it. My family don't do that. Because of the persecution that comes along with that. How many knows the Bible says if we're going to live godly in this life, we will suffer persecution. You can't get out of it. Now, let me read what I wrote right here. The Holy Spirit, He is the manifester, the revealer, the quickener, the empower, or bringing to pass the Word and the will of God. He always has been, and He always will be. And He always does His job. But notice what I said, the will of God. Just like you've got people, they want to do something, and they'll take that scripture over there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they will take that for whatever it is they're wanting to do to get the job done on that and to be able to do it. How many knows? You better pay attention. It says in Christ. In Christ, you don't do outside of the will of God. You don't do outside of the Word of God. And how many knows His will is not the same in certain areas for every one of us? Maybe you're supposed to be a janitor and you're trying to be a brain surgeon. Come on now. Don't tell your kids, oh baby, you can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. God has a plan, and He has a purpose, and He has a will, and that is not for any of us to decide. That's His will. We got to find out what it is and then walk in it, and then we can do no matter what obstacle comes against you, no matter what finances that the devil tries to keep from. There's nothing that can stop you when you are in the will of God, going and pursuing after that. Why? The Holy Spirit will open every door that you need open. He will close every door that you need closed. He will bring every bit of finances that you need in His will, because He's only going to reveal, manifest, and work according to the will of God. So that's what I mean by when I say you cannot just take the Word of God and use that however you choose to. Even Jesus Himself, that is the Word, could not and did not. So let's see here. Let's go back to the beginning here in Genesis 1. Now remember what I said, the Holy Spirit, this is just part of what He does. He is the manifester. Listen, you can't see the nose in front of your face spiritually if the Holy Spirit, even naturally sometimes, if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it to you. What's that mean? It was there all the time. How many of y'all have ever seen your angel? According to Scripture, every person born into the earth, we have at least one. Right? How many of y'all ever seen Him? No? Does that mean He's not there? No, He's always there. But now if God, for some reason, whatever it was that He chose to turn on that gift of discerning of spirits, how many knows angels are spirits? Demons are spirits. That's what that gift does. It discerns and reveals to you whatever is in the spirit that you need to see. You would see your angel. So He can do some of that. How many knows that every gift that is over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and other places, we had since the beginning? Some of y'all didn't say that. Some of y'all didn't say amen. Have y'all read the Bible? The working of miracles. Wasn't it in there? Yeah. Sandy, have you ever seen an axe head swim? I believe it happened. Why? The Bible says it happened. But the working of miracles has to have a natural thing, and then God puts His supernatural with it. Y'all remember what He told him? Go get this certain kind of stick and throw it in the water. Y'all remember when the stew or the pot of stuff they was cooking had poison in it? He said, put this in, and what? It became eatable. God worked a miracle, but there was a word of the Lord that came. That's called working of miracles. They had that all through the Old Testament. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Y'all remember over there where, I think it might have been the Philistines. But anyway, they kept making these plans to go against Israel. And every time they went to go against them with their plans, Israel would be right there canceling out what they was trying to do. And they told them, they said, what do you call that? We'll just call it a snitch. That's what a word we would use today, right? We got a snitch in the camp. Somebody's telling them everything we're going to do. And then one of them says, no, sir, they got the prophet of the Lord over there, and he's telling them everything you're saying in your bedchamber. He's telling them. That's called the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. They had all these things. So why today do we not believe, a lot of us believe for these things? They died out with the apostles. This didn't happen. Listen, it's called the first law of first mention. Whatever's mentioned to begin with, it will be all throughout. Just like they'll tell you, some of them today, that the apostles' ministry, there is no modern day apostles. That's a lie. Over there in Ephesians, what is it, chapter 4? That he speaks about these, and he says the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Well, what about the pastors? They won't tell you they went out because they are one. So if you're going to do away with one, you got to do away with all, don't you? They're in the same verse. Then they're over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What do you do with all this? It's a lie. If I was the devil, I would do it too, because he ain't stupid. He's just defeated. Let me get on with this. Good grief, y'all done sucked up 15 minutes here. All right, let's see. I want to read this in the Amplified. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God, that's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, right? Same one. He's been from the beginning. Not a different one. It says the Spirit of God was moving. Now, the Amplified translates this very good. It says hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And then the next thing it says, now what did you think he's doing here? Brooding or hovering would be like what? He's waiting. He's waiting on the word of the Lord. Why? Because he is the power and the doer of the word. Right? So he's just sitting there hovering or brooding. He's waiting. Next verse says, and God said, here it comes, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And God saw that the light was good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it. Now, if he did it himself, why would he have to approve his own doing? Because he didn't do it. The Holy Spirit is the doer, right? God speaks the word. He is the Father. He is the head honcho boss. Now, they are all three one, but how many knows they all defer to the Father? Jesus himself said, it's the Father in me that does the work. The Holy Spirit only glorifies and magnifies Jesus and the Father, right? He won't even talk to you about himself. You say, tell me about yourself, he won't do it. Because the Bible says when the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak to you whatever he hears. So we see here in the beginning how it was. Same Holy Spirit, he's not changed. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 right quick. Glory to God. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and time's sake, I'm just going to read verse 6. Now, this is a direct cross-reference from the verse we just read. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination, notice what it says, of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Who did all that? You wouldn't even know who Jesus was if he hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. He did nothing, right, except grew in stature with man and favor with man and God, the Bible says, after he got there, after the little caravan incident. Y'all remember that? He got took back home. And then the Bible said, you don't hear nothing about him. Yeah, some would teach you that he's laying in his bassinet doing miracles, you know, making birds live again. That's a bunch of nonsense. He could not. He came in the form of just like a regular human being like me and you, or we could not do the works that he did, and even greater than him, because he himself didn't do the works. He said, it's the Father in me. How many knows it's the Holy Ghost in me and you at the word of the Lord? It's kind of like this, you know, I've heard this before, and I have even taught this, and I asked Scotty about it the other day. You know, we tell y'all, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't care if we taught it to you, you heard it somewhere else or what. If it's not in line with Scripture and you find it out, just discard it. I mean, as any of us can miss it, believe something wrong at any time, right? You know, over there where that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship and he's asleep and he had told him to go to the other side, remember? And the Bible says like a hurricane force winds rose up, you know, and the water's coming in the boat and all that. And they went and told him, Master, woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the waves. And then he got on to them and the Bible says upbraided them because of their unbelief. When you read that in the Amplified, it says, for their lack of confident trust in him. He did not get on to them or upbraid them because they didn't rebuke the wind and the waves. Johnny, I've thought that for years. That's not what it says. See what I'm telling you? So then here I go out here, and I start trying to rebuke the wind and the waves. I ain't got no word on rebuking wind and waves. Why was he able to walk on the water? Not another one of them in that boat could have walked on that water except Peter. He's the only one. See, you can't just see somebody do something every time, and then you go and you try to do it. He could only walk on the water because his faith said, if that's really you, Lord, bid me to come. What's Jesus going to do? Like, it's not really me. He couldn't do anything else other than say, come. But when Peter heard that word come, faith was there. He mixed his action with it and he walked on the water. But if Jesus hadn't have said come, he would have never walked. See, sometimes we can't be too presuming and assuming. You get what I'm saying? You take over there in Exodus 14, 16, something like that. Okay, now the children of Israel, they got a word from the Lord. God sent Moses down there. He raised up a deliverer. They're in bondage for 400 something years, I think. And he tells them, he said, I'm going to take you to a land, he said, that's flowing with milk and honey. And buddy, he brought them out with a high hand. They was not one sick. Now you're talking about millions of people. Not one of them are sick. You got newborn babies, I can imagine, out of a million something people. You've got elderly, you've got middle age, you've got kids, you've got newborn babies. Not a one of them are sick. Not a one of them is weak. Not a one of them is feeble, the Bible says. Then he starts them on this journey. Then they get over there. Now his word to the Egyptians was, let my people go. Didn't he tell them? Word of the Lord. Faith comes how? They could have had faith. They had to have used faith to let them go. Why? They had been their breadwinners, their pyramid builders, and everything else for all this time. Y'all get this, right? Now they're going to lose all their workers. But they could have had faith to let them go. Why? Because God said, let my people go. Now Israel has to have faith to get to that promised land. They have the word of the Lord, right? I'm going to take you to a promised land flowing with milk and honey, right? They get on their journey. They get to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and them change their mind about letting them go. And they begin to pursue them. I'm paraphrasing here. Y'all know what that says. And if you don't, you can go back and read it. Well, here they come, hot after them. They get to the Red Sea. I don't know. Million something people. Possibly a lot of them can't swim. Right? You got little newborn babies, two-year-olds, you know, can't swim, different stuff. What do they do? Why? 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 They start crying, the Bible says. I know y'all would never. They start crying. And God tells Moses, he said, why are you crying to me for? Tell the people, go forward. You got the word of the Lord, go forward. Okay, now here comes working of miracles. God tells Moses, stretch out your rod. See, Moses can't part the sea. He can get them to the promised land, but it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to help them to maneuver and get them through every obstacle they got to go through. So they need the working of miracles, right? Because this is the Red Sea, and you got a million something people got to get through here, and here comes Pharaoh, and he ain't playing. God says, stretch out your rod. In working of miracles and that gift, you always got to have a natural a word of the Lord for a natural action, and then God does the supernatural. Moses heard the word of the Lord, stretched out his rod. Here come the Holy Ghost that parted the waters, and the Bible says they all went over. He blew a wind and dried up the land. They ain't even got no mud between their toes. Now, they got a word of the Lord, right? They get across. They're not presuming or assuming. God told them, go forward. Well, here comes Pharaoh and them. They see what all happens. What do? Presume and assume, come on now, to do the same thing. No, you won't. Why? Your word of the Lord is not go forward. Your word of the Lord is turn your little tail around and let my people go. See, do y'all get what I'm telling you? This presuming and assuming of what the will of the Lord is and what He's saying to each one of us as an individual needs to stop. It has to stop. Well, they presume and assume they did it. We're going to do the same thing. We all know what happens to them, right? He told them, he said, this enemy that you've had, you won't see them no more. Why? Because you can't assume and presume to walk on somebody else's word. You got to have your own. There are certain situations and circumstances you must have the word of the Lord for yourself. Because God's not always saying in certain circumstances the same thing to everybody. Right? So when we presume and assume, that's why a lot of us don't get what we say we're believing God for. Now, so it's the Holy Ghost, he carries out the work. Look at John 16 here. Holy Ghost don't talk of himself, but Jesus talked quite a bit about him. John 16, I'm going to be reading this in the King James, and then I'm going to switch over to the Amplified. Verse 13, Jesus is Jesus talking, it's read. It says, howbeit when he, what's it say? He, you'll hear a lot of people refer to the Holy Spirit as it. That's awful. Are you an it? You're a person, aren't you? So if you're a male, we would refer to you, I'm telling you, I'm saying a thing right now. You got these demons out here. Oh, I mean people. My pronoun is it, she, he, they. You got a demon then. Right? So we don't need to refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He is a he. He's not a she. I heard somebody the other day said God is a female. And I, are you stupid? Can you read the Bible? Are you serious? Nowhere in there does it refer to him as a she. Now, he is called the all-breasty one because there's times he can be feminine, not the word feminine, but gentle as a mother would with her children. But he's always been a he, and he always will be a he. So the Holy Spirit, he's not an it, he's a he. So when people refer to him as it, I know right now you don't know him. He's a person. So we need to address him with the high, and he's a person of the Godhead, right? Of the Trinity. We need to always address him with honor and respect. Because Jesus himself said, he said, you can speak against me. You can say all manner of kind of bad things and evil against me. He said, but you better not ever blaspheme the Holy Ghost. So you don't ever, if you don't understand something about the power or things, just keep your mouth shut. Because you don't ever want to say nothing derogatory or downgrading about the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself spoke very condemning of that. So he is a he. He's a person. If you've been born again, he actually lives on the inside of you. And if you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, now he has come upon you for service to profit withal. He says here, howbeit when he... And then we see here, he is the Spirit of truth, right? He's only going to bear witness with what is truth. Any falsehood, he doesn't go along with all that. It says, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, right? But whatsoever he shall what? Hear. That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Jesus is talking, so the Holy Spirit's going to glorify Jesus. Now, when we get over there to the gifts, and I hope that's where the Lord is taking us. We've done that before. But anyway, when we get over there to the gifts, this is one of the ways, the Bible says test the spirits. This is one of the ways that you can test the spirit that's speaking. I'm talking about when you're giving a message out in tongues that's supposed to be interpreted. Or one of the other gifts of the Spirit or whatever, that Spirit will always glorify and magnify Jesus. It won't glorify and magnify people. I get leery of prophecies when somebody says they're prophesying to somebody and they start telling them, oh, how great you are. You're going to have a great ministry and you're going to do this and just yada, yada, on and on and on and on. And all I heard was how great God was going to make them. See what I'm talking about? Now, he might say he's going to do something with you. I'm not saying he does it. But I'm talking about in the overall general thing, Jesus is going to be glorified and magnified somehow, even if he's going to use me or you to do great things. So it's one of the ways that we can test the spirits. The Holy Spirit will never, ever say anything downgrading, bad, derogatory against Jesus or the Father, ever. But now you take a demon on the other hand, they can't say anything good about them. Listen, even if, I just thought about this scripture. Y'all remember the story over there where the Apostle Paul, he went into the city, he's going to minister or going through the city or whatever. And here comes this girl. The Bible says she's got a spirit of divination. Better stay away from that stuff. In the Old Testament, it was absolutely forbidden. You would be stoned. That necromancy and familiar spirits, talking with the dead, all that. I mean, you would be absolutely killed. Ooh, could y'all hear a pin drop or what? Absolutely. Now, why was I telling you that? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm telling y'all, he helps me every day, all day long. You know, he helps some people more than others. Not because that's the way he does things. It's just because some people look to him more than what others do. He will help you as much as you will let him, because he's a gentleman. He doesn't force and he doesn't take you over. But anyway, I was reminded of that girl. The Bible says she had a spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller. Stay away from that stuff. I have been to some years. This was BC. But anyway, she had a spirit of divination, and she was fortune telling, and she was pretty accurate. I mean, you don't pay money for a bunch of fluff, right? And the Bible says she made money for her owner. She was a slave girl. Well, anyway, he's going down through there, and all of a sudden she runs out and she starts saying, "Oh, these are the servants of the Most High God to show us the way of salvation," or whatever, you know. She's saying what's so. This is another key to discerning whenever it's really the Spirit of God or it's demons. She's saying what's so, ain't she? She's not lying. But when a demon is testifying for you, there's just something about that on the inside of you. It's kind of like, y'all ever heard that fingernails down the chalkboard? There's something on the inside of you. There is no agreement. I don't care, your ears may be hearing what's facts, but on the inside, there's no bearing witness with this. And while we're right here, let me just say, he went 3 days before he ever did anything about that. You can't always, when you come across a demon, just cast it out like that. Oh, y'all are quiet. How do you know that it's a demon, number one? Come on now. The Holy Ghost. Because see, sometimes without the leadership of the Holy Ghost, it could be mental illness. And there's not always a demon attached to mental illness. Some people's got problems in their brain or in their mind, right? So how do you know which one that is? The leadership of the Holy Ghost. He knows everything all the time. And also, guess what? If somebody wants a demon, and there are those that they channel demons into theirs, they want them. They invite them. You cannot cast them out. I am free, Samantha, to have God if I want Him. And I am free to have the devil and everything he will possibly give me if I want Him. God doesn't make that choice for me, and you can't make that choice for me. So he lets this go on for 3 days. And he was annoyed, the Bible says. I would be too. I mean, who in the world wants a demon testifying for you? But something had to happen after that. The Bible doesn't say it, but I know it. Something after 3 days, which I know the something to be the Holy Spirit, he got something or another about casting this demon out. And then when she come, he said, "Come out in the name of Jesus." He instantaneously came out of her. That's what got him put in jail. Y'all remember? I didn't mean to get over on all this. Good grief, if the heater's on, somebody needs to check it. I turned the air on. Whew. Anyway, where are we at? 14. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it or reveal it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine," Jesus is talking, "therefore said I, that he," talking about the Holy Ghost, "shall take of mine and show it unto you." Amplified says it this way: "But when he," the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, "comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that he has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me. This is Jesus talking. Because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Now, let's look at, back to what I was saying a while ago. Some people, they don't serve the Lord, and I didn't say they hadn't been born again. How many knows there's people got born again in 1967 and they ain't served God since then? You can be born again and never do the will of God. That is a daily basis that we make a choice to follow him. But yet they'll take Psalm 91 and they'll quote it. And they think it's working for them. It's not. When you read Psalm 91, it says all this is to him that abides. Come on now. That means dwells, lives. That's where you stay. In the shadow of what? El Shaddai. All these things belongs to that person. So therefore, if you're abiding in him, he's abiding in you, right? His word abides. You can claim that and it will work for you. In whatever is the will of God. The Apostle Paul had some of that. And I don't know if we'll have, I've got it wrote down, but I don't know if we'll have time to get to it. Kind of like this. Now I said the Spirit and the Word, they always go together. The Holy Spirit confirms the Word that is preached, right? That's what he said over there in Mark 16. He said the Lord working with them, doing signs, wonders, miracles, confirming the Word that they preached. So if there is no Word, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to confirm. But anyway, to get off of that, you take Psalm 91 over there. I heard a story about a lady one time that she had got mugged. And she called into the prayer, this prayer line, prayer group or whatever, and she was telling them about it, and she said, I don't understand what happened. She said, I quoted. She said, I read and I quoted, and I believed Psalm 91 before I left the house. And the guy that's on there, you know, that is supposed to pray with her, counsel with her or whatever, he gets his tissue out, and he starts crying too because he ain't got nothing about it either, and can't neither one of them figure out why it didn't work. So then he gets a little something from the Holy Spirit. Like, investigate this a little deeper. So we asked her, he said, let's think about this for a minute. Did you have a reason that you had to be down there in that part of town? Because it was a bad part of town. That's why she quoted and believed Psalm 91. Well, no, not really. There was some kind of sale that she was going to down there. No, not really. I didn't have to be or whatever. Why are you smiling? Because you're our sale girl. Anyway, don't get me off on all that now. Can't get distracted here. So anyway, no, not necessarily. I didn't have to be, but I was going, you know. And I quoted Psalm 91. I believe Psalm 91. You know, the Bible says it. He said, okay. He said, when you quoted Psalm 91 or believed it or what, he said, did you have anything in your heart about it? This stuff can be so little. In here. I'm not talking about it can be so slight that if you're not tender and sensitive, you will just bypass it like you never even heard it. And so she looked in there and she said, well, I did have a little bit of something about not going. She said, but I saw him 91 it, and it should have been okay. And so there he found what the problem was. The Apostle Paul, at one point, he's going to a certain place to preach, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost forbid him. He could have still went. But the Bible says, now, let's think in line with other scripture. But the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Johnny, it don't say for you to go in all the world and preach the gospel, does it? But now if he spoke that to you, you better get with it. Or me, whoever. See what I'm talking about? The Spirit and the Word go together. I don't care what this written Word says and what you pick out or anything. You stand, you always be looking to the Holy Spirit. What are you saying about this? I'm going to have to stop here soon. I'm going to bring up a little incident that happened here. Now, I'm back in the nursery again. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I've been doing some cleaning in there, steaming carpets and everything. And I don't know where Sandy got that TV, but she's the one that brought it. Could have got it from a yard sale. Could have been hers. And, I mean, probably from 1950s. I'm kidding. But it's so old, it had the VHS built in. But anyway, you know, in a little one, I thought. And see, I'm the TV girl. I like TV. But now I'm cut down here. But anyway, we're not going to get off on all that. Now I thought, and I got some things I'm going to do with it. I am graced right now, Sandy, for these kids. Amazing! He does that because he shows up real good in those that don't have it. But anyway, I got some things in my heart about doing with these little kids and different things. And so I need a TV. And I need my phone and different stuff. So anyway, I'm going to take the TV in there. And great! Got a good on the inside here. Great, good thing, you know, or whatever. But then I have this idea, okay, well, if I hook it up to the Wi-Fi, then I can do this and this and this with it. And I couldn't get it hooked up the week that I wanted. Travis and them going out of town, different stuff, and I don't do all that stuff that you got to do with that. That's why I have kids, grandkids and daughter-in-laws, all that. That's their job. But anyway, and so a little time went on, and the more I would think on this and pray about it, I started feeling a little dark. It's the best way I can describe it to you. I'm talking about absence of light. Started feeling in here, not up here, in here. Because in here, it's like, woo! Yay! But I start feeling a little dark on the inside here. And I'm like, what is this? You know? And every time I would start thinking about it, praying, I'd feel a little bit darker. And a little bit dark. And I'm like, what is? Sometimes you don't know. But you know him. So when you know him, you know something. He's trying to tell you something. He don't always speak words. The Bible talks about a neck-reined horse. Y'all know what that means. You don't tell him, giddy up. You put that rein slightly on his neck on that side, and he turns that way. You put it slightly up. We're supposed to be neck-reined, so to speak, spirit rain. But anyway, I start feeling a little dark. Time goes on every day, you know. And every day that I think about this, just think on it. He's in here. He knows my thoughts. I start feeling a little dark and a little darker. Till one day I'm like, what? I said it out loud. What is this? I don't know about y'all, but I get fed up. And when I get fed up, I mean, I'm fed up. What is this? Lord, am I not supposed to put the TV in there? What is going on with this? Because I know something in here's not right. And then I started trying to decipher. Lord, am I not supposed to put the TV in there? Or am I not supposed to hook this up to the Wi-Fi? Now, what I want to do is a good thing. I mean, it's made for little toddlers and things, the things I'm wanting to show and do and everything. I don't have to know why. Do you hear what I said? You don't have to know why. Just do whatever he says. So I'm like, am I not supposed to get the TV or am I not supposed to hook it up to the Wi-Fi? I'm not supposed to hook it up to the Wi-Fi. Because then I started checking down in here. I'd think about the TV and it was like, yay! I'd think about the Wi-Fi and it's like, I'm like, there it is. That Wi-Fi, I can't hook that TV. I don't know what y'all would do when you're back there. Y'all come on now. Every one of these rooms back here has TVs in them. We will not in any room back there, whether it's the nursery, Sandy's class, Samantha, show above a Y or a G movie or TV show or anything on those TVs. Why? PG is parental guidance, and they ain't one of them parents back there in those rooms. That is not, I don't care if you think it's a good movie or not, that is not for me to decide. That's for the parents. See, they tried to do that in the school. The devil did. That's for parents to decide. And if they ain't back there, they can't decide. Let me tell you something. Parents, the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Parents are the guardians, God-given guardians of children's hearts. They don't know what's good. They don't know what's bad until parents teach them. And as the parents are saying, that's right and amen, you better realize, parents, you will give an account to God. What you let them little kids hear, what you let them little kids see, where you let them little kids go, what you let them do. Why? Because you're only a guardian. They belong to God. Jesus said, come as a little child. Didn't he say that to all of us, Johnny? I used to think that was just because they believe, and they do. Scotty, he has some sayings. He'll say a saying, and Aiden, especially Aiden, he'll go, Papa, what does that mean? Aiden believes it means whatever Papa tells him. But little kids' hearts, it's not just because they're tender. They're innocent. They're pure. They love. They don't know hate. They don't know ungodliness. And as parents and leaders and teachers' jobs is to protect and to nurture that innocence and that faith and that purity that is in kids. And if we do our jobs right, they'll never go through and make some of the decisions that me and you made. They'll be like Samuel. Samuel's mama, remember her? She took, I think he was something like 9 years old when she took him to the house of the Lord. The word of the Lord began to come to him at a young age. He followed God all the days of his life. And only did the word of the Lord. That's the will of God for kids. So in this house, we will not show anything above Y or G. Why? Because I don't care. It's none of my business what parents or people do with their house. None of your business what I do with mine. But in this house, the house of the Lord is supposed to be and has to be above reproach. Right? I've got to stop because we're actually past my time thing here. So y'all get what I'm saying, right? Does anybody have any comments or anything they'd like to share quickly?